Welcome to Relentless Roger and the Caveman Doctor, here with episode one. I am Roger, here with Colin Chant, the Caveman Doctor.
It's great to be here.
Our first podcast. You pumped?
I am pumped. It's hopefully the start of something big.
So let's tell listeners out there who the heck we are and what we hope to accomplish here. So first of all, who are you, Colin Chant?
So I am approaching my final year of specialty training in radiation oncology. Been a long time, about 9 years after college now, so it's good to be almost finishing up. But I live here in Philadelphia, actually not far from Roger, and we met through Ancestral Health 215, which Roger set up. It's just a group where we follow a caveman paleo type lifestyle, and we met up that way, and it was sparks from the start, and here we are. So tell me about yourself.
Well, I am a personal trainer and co-owner at Relentless Fitness, which is a studio located in Philadelphia. And one of the things I'm focused on is running the Relentless Transformation, which is a intense program that combines efficient exercise programming with sound paleo nutrition, nice. Some mindset and lifestyle components. And thus far, it's been a wild ride. I've had over 100 people through it and some great results, diabetic reversals and lots of weight loss and compositional changes. So it's been very fulfilling, and I think that's one of the reasons why I'm most excited about this podcast. Is it's a natural extension of the physical world and what we do here in Philadelphia. How about you? What's most exciting about this podcast?
It's just good to get the message out. Good to my goal, my website, cavemandoctor.com, and frankly my goal at work is to just translate the complex science and just make it easily understandable for people, for my patients and for people on my website and people that we meet at Ancestral Health. So hopefully that can translate to this podcast as well.
Yep.
How about for you?
Yeah, I know myself. I try to take a holistic approach to health. I don't think it's just about nutrition. I don't think it's just about exercise. I try to take a four-pronged approach: exercise, nutrition, mindset, and lifestyle. And I think when you really approach it from all angles, you get pretty insane results fast. So try to give people a little bit on all those topics, and hopefully we can present a lot of usable information.
Absolutely. We'll try to keep it interesting. Sometimes the research gets a little boring, so we'll try to keep you entertained.
Definitely. Hey, I have another question for you. When did you get introduced to paleo or ancestral health? And what brought you around to this line of thinking?
So I've always been into working out, nutrition, just from sports. I played basketball and track a lot in high school, played a little bit in college, cut that off when I went the pre-med route, just didn't have enough time. But weird path. I was always trying to gain weight, gain muscle, then lose fat. And through that, I found low-carb lifestyle really worked for me. As goofy as it sounds, basically every summer before summer came, I just switched to low carb and it just shed the fat.
Shred it up for the beach?
Absolutely. Well, I guess the swimming pool. I'm from Pittsburgh, but nonetheless, it was a nice swimming pool. And through that, I kind of went to the low carb lifestyle. And I think this path happens for a lot of people. Once you get low carb, you start realizing how it works, physiologically how it works. And it just naturally leads you to that kind of paleo caveman type pathway. And just here I am now. In a couple years, almost didn't realize I was following it. But I'm in a good place now, pretty happy with my health. How about you? How'd you end up here?
Completely unorthodox. I actually started on Wall Street in finance and didn't jive with the lifestyle so much. So I took a complete career 180 and just kind of backed into my passion. I started training a few friends, and one in particular started, well, more like programming for a few friends. Mm-hmm. And one started to get great results. And one day he told me, hey, you should do something with this. And I was in such a freewheeling phase that I said, heck yes. And got certified and just, again, just kind of backed into a position as a trainer at a local gym and progressed there and started Relentless Fitness as a home-to-home training company and an outdoor training company. And then one day I sort of combined my backgrounds. From Wall Street, I'm a problem solver. I like aggressive cases. And I said, all right, what's the furthest I can go in 12 weeks? And I started the first Relentless Transformation. Did it with a client of mine. I got great results. She dropped her type 2 diabetic blood work, lost a bunch of weight. And I said, hey, we have something here. And then as the transformation progressed, I started eating a certain way. And then jumped into these websites, Mark's Deli Apple, Mark Sisson, linked up with Rob Wolf's website, and really found that, much like you, I had sort of started eating a certain way without really knowing what it was called, and now all of a sudden here I was with paleo or primal, and here we are, right?
Absolutely.
Cool. So that's who we are. That's what we hope to accomplish here. So hopefully we can get something usable to you listeners out there. Let's start with some personal current events. Colin, what's new?
Just working real hard. Work on my website mostly at night, and my clinic duties and research during the day. And my big thing in the last 2 or 3 months has really been to just analyze what we're telling our patients to eat. And by patients here, I mean cancer patients. Really what we're telling them to eat, and does the data back it up? And our recommendations are no different than conventional wisdom. And I'm just finding out there isn't great data to back it up. And so I'm trying to publish papers showing this to people so we can have it in writing that what we're recommending patients may not be the optimal thing. So that's been consuming me as of lately. So we'll see how that goes.
What's the next step?
Next step, I've submitted a couple papers. We'll see what happens, and if they reject it, then we'll submit somewhere else.
All right, hey. Now, is there a deadline for this? Do you know when you're receiving a response?
You don't know. That's the great thing.
Okay.
You submit it, and the editor tells you whether it's going to go under review or not.
Pins and needles, man.
If they tell you right away that it's not going under review, then you kind of just put your head down for a week. But if it goes under review, they send it out to a couple other reviewers, and they let you know anywhere from a month to a couple months.
So, okay.
Just sitting tight for a while.
There you go.
So what's up with you? What's new?
Lots going on here, actually. It is week 2 of the new Relentless Transformation Program, and thus far, as there usually are, there's some insane results cases from... We do a prep week, so really it's been prep week plus one.
Okay.
There's been 2 weeks, and you just see that when someone starts eating right and exercising right for the first time in a long time, maybe ever, their body responds, and it responds fast, swiftly, decisively, and gets some pretty insane results out there. Not that I will certainly dissuade people from looking at the scale alone, but we've seen some, we've seen 10 pounds down already in just under 2 weeks. And
so you do measurements then, or just...
We do the whole picture. So scale, circumference measurements, we do body fat calipers, and then of course the most important is the visual. And we do pictures, and we certainly encourage our transformers to publicize it all, because accountability counts as well.
Absolutely.
Where you're going with that, the scale is not the be all and end all. In this Biggest Loser culture, we've definitely had the wool pulled over our eyes there.
Absolutely. It's interesting too. I get a lot of emails from real hardcore paleo people doing CrossFit, people constantly trying to gain muscle. And it's funny, they're actually trying to increase that number on the scale. Decrease the fat, but increase that number. So I think overall, just ignoring that number, like you hit it on the head, the mirror test. If you like what you see, then
exactly,
you're better off.
Or also put elsewhere as look, feel, and perform, right? If
Absolutely.
You look good, you feel good, and you perform well, then why the heck do you care about a 3-digit number on a scale?
Absolutely.
We are also getting the first ever Relentless Cow from Philly Cow Shares.
Nice.
Delivery is on Wednesday, and I gotta say, we're super excited. 8 people sharing eighths of the cow, grass-fed, hormone-free, super quality, sourced locally, and I just can't wait. One thing in the paleo community that I've wanted to try for a long, long time is bone broth, and I actually have not had the pleasure of all the other things I've tried. I've not had the pleasure of trying bone broth, and along with this grass-fed cow comes a decent hunk of bone, so looking forward to throwing them in a pot and seeing what happens.
Yeah, hopefully you'll be inviting me over for dinner.
That's right. We'll do a big grill. And lastly, speaking of Ancestral Health 215, that's the Philadelphia meetup group. Colin, you were coming over this Friday to Relentless Fitness Studio. We're having paleo movie night. And the fantastic CJ Hunt, a director of In Search of the Perfect Human Diet, we had a chance to meet him out at Paleo FX, the conference in Austin, Texas, and he's a pretty great dude, and he let me purchase a special edition or extended copy, and as I told him then, we would do a movie night here at the studio, so we're shipping in a projector, putting up a screen. I think we got between 30 and 40 attendees. It should be a good solid time. Some paleo snacks.
Absolutely. I'll see you there. I hope you do have the legal rights to film this movie.
I think CJ will, I think he'll be okay with the publicity.
I'm just saying, I just want to follow the rules here.
All right, so enough current events. Let's get to our talking points for the day. I think we have one that we want to bat back and forth between the two of us.
Absolutely.
And we're actually going to go to one of your posts on cavemandoctor.com, Modern Caveman Diet. So, Colin, recently you posted an article that I personally loved, The Modern Caveman Diet, and it went over the do's and don'ts and gave your readers a really great outline of your practices. So why don't you talk a little bit more about it? You know it better than I do.
Sure, thanks a lot. So when I first started my website, which was several months ago, I started writing kind of the foods you should avoid. The first couple posts were the foods you should avoid. And this was back in September, October, November time last year. And one of my buddies called it the negative November. He said, now nice. we know we can't eat. Is there anything left? So at that point, I realized, you know, I really needed to say what's the do's and don'ts, what we shouldn't do and what we should. And this is the same message I push to my patients. And what I'm trying to do here is just a really easy way of looking at it. You know, not only should we eat what a caveman ate, because that's what our body's been used to for several million years, that's what our genes are programmed to process. But frankly, thinking about food in that same manner, just kind of exactly that, what would a caveman eat, helps you make those simple decisions. Easily candy bars, soda, those kind of things. Obviously, they weren't around very long ago, so it's easy to say, yeah, caveman wouldn't eat those. But even then, leafy green vegetables, bright fruits were the things that would stick out to a wandering caveman. And then, of course, delicious, salty-tasting animals. And it makes it easy. And you want these animals to be wild, just like they were back in the day. Obviously, eating cows that are stuffed in a small barn, fed grains, given antibiotics, that's probably not what a caveman would be eating. So that's kind of the general message. And really, the underlying thing here is that it's a low-carbohydrate diet. And that's why I did this sliding scale. I don't like when people have to count things, but you know, just in the very beginning, if you can go between 50 and 150 grams of carbs for a while, see where you go. Everyone's different. Some people at 50 grams of carbs are going to be just fine. Some people can eat up to 150 grams of carbs. A friend of mine, no body fat, he eats about 150 grams of carbs a day. He's obviously very, very insulin sensitive.
Sure. I also, well, beyond that too, movement matters there, right?
Absolutely. You know, if you're working out a ton, if because of your job you're walking around a lot, you're working around working out a lot, you're going to need a little bit more. So for everyone it's different. If we hit a slow period, I know if I'm stuck at work a lot, not able to get out as much, I drop those down. I'll drop down to 50. I'll drop down to less than 50.
Sure.
Everyone's different, and that's kind of the underlying theme here. And then the other big thing, calories. Don't come with that. Don't count calories. I hate that. Eat as much fat as you want. Go to town on fat. Yep. That should be the basis of your whole diet. And then protein, again, I say to get 75% of your weight in grams of protein. I don't like when people have to count things. My patients don't like when I tell them to count things. They get mad at me. So what I do is tell them to go to FitDay or one of these sites a couple times in the very beginning track. And I'll actually, a lot of times they give me their password and I go on and look at it and then give them feedback.
It makes total sense. I mean, I tell the same to my clients. You don't want to be tracking for life. There are a few people out there who that works for, but the vast, you know, 99.9% of the population, counting calories, protein, carbohydrates, macronutrients for life sounds like, you know, they'd rather rake their fingernails over a chalkboard.
Absolutely.
So keeping it to that first week, 2 weeks, even just a couple days, it's useful. You get an idea of, okay, here's what I normally eat. Here's what that looks like. Like you said, you give them the carbohydrate guidelines. You give them the protein guidelines. That's two of the things I like best about the do's of the Modern Caveman Diet. You get those specifics. You wrap your head around them. And then once you have a good feel for them, you just, that's it. Just no more tracking.
Absolutely. You know, if you need to, you could check in every 6 months or so. Sometimes I sway a little bit. And it's one of those things where you don't know it. And every day you add a little more. And the next thing you know, 6 months later, you check and it's a little out of whack.
Yep.
So, you know, if you need to do it every 6 months, then do it. If not,
definitely,
that's fine.
It also depends on your goals, right?
Absolutely.
If you're going after something aggressively, if you're trying to change your lifestyle, overhaul it, maybe you do track it every day for an entire 6 month period. Mm-hmm. But it really all comes down to the individual case.
Absolutely. Those people that are tracking every day for 6 months, they're the easy ones.
Right. Exactly.
So that's pretty much the gist of it. And I could go on and on for hours about this, but those are really the take-home points. And then the other things here or there you guys could check over. And, you know, obviously it touches on the controversial topics of dairy.
Yep.
And that's another thing, which see how you feel. Even beans, which I don't eat beans. I'm pretty anti-beans. But I even say in there, you know, if people really want to eat beans and they can't tolerate not doing it, like I tell a lot of my patients, then, you know, go for it. I'd rather have you do that and follow the rest of it than right. not do any of it.
Right. I feel like beans and legumes, maybe some people would agree, fall a little bit more in a gray area,
yeah.
especially if they're soaked and prepared well. A little bit more of a gray area. I certainly would prefer clients and patients eating beans than, you know, a ton of sugar,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And just little quick things in there just to help people kind of sort through the mess. Even Lana, I have generally avoid foods your grandfather wouldn't recognize.
Nice.
And I say that a lot to my patients, and a lot of them, it's just a light bulb lights up.
Yep.
And I think, you know, you and I, we've been doing this for a while. We go a little beyond that, and it's kind of generally avoid foods that a caveman wouldn't recognize. But, you know, not everyone's there, and I understand that. I'd rather have them follow this to the best of their ability.
Yep.
And to kind of weed them out. So
I'll also use the two phrases, try not to have foods with more than a handful of ingredients that are not seasonings.
Absolutely.
And also, if you can't pronounce it or if you don't know what the heck it is, that's a red flag.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you don't know what's in it, then just err on the side of caution. Assume something bad is in it.
That's right. So anyway, hey, great article, man. So, you know, cavemandoctor.com, the modern caveman diet, what would a caveman do? Good, solid piece for
Thanks
people.
Thanks.
All right, hey, how about some news clips?
Let's go to it. Why don't you lead us off here?
Let's see what's going on. All right, so Domino's has introduced a new gluten-free crust with a catch. I'm sourcing this from the Huffington Post. I'm extremely jaded. When it comes to big food companies, especially fast food companies, I'm really, really jaded. So when one of these companies comes out and says they are making a health improvement for the good of society, I immediately take that into question. In this case, I'm actually going to use, I'm not going to diss Domino's, but hey, you know what? They want to launch a gluten-free crust. Fantastic. I do have to point out that they have launched a gluten-free crust and said at the same time that celiacs should not eat it because there still may be gluten present in the crust. So whatever. Anyway, I'm not going to kill Domino's for this. It is a positive move, but I do want to use this news topic to harp on the following. Gluten-free does not equate to health. And I think too often these terms, gluten-free or even sugar-free, things like this come out into the masses as, all right, sugar is toxic, let's go sugar-free. Gluten, you know, many more people could be gluten sensitive than we originally thought, let's go gluten-free. And you see some companies with good hearts and good intents come out there with products that are actually healthy. But then inevitably you see the mass food companies jump on that bandwagon and say, oh, hey, if we slap gluten-free on this, it will be construed as healthy. Mm. And that's a problem.
And what's replacing that?
Right. A, what's replacing it? B, what the heck else is in it? And how about this? Domino's pizza, right? Gluten-free crust or not, it's a pile of crap.
Absolutely.
Right? Would you want to eat gluten-free Domino's pizza?
I don't.
So it's still a product that's massively unhealthy for you. I worry that it's now a product that will be deemed healthier. And that's the issue for me.
Yeah, and you see this a lot, and one of the big ones back in, what was it, I think early 90s, was the low-fat campaign.
Oh, yeah.
Fat's going to kill you, et cetera, et cetera. So they made all these low-fat products, and they just load them up with sugar.
Yep.
I mean, until, these are most often products that just shouldn't be eaten in general.
Definitely.
Until you go back to these whole foods that were meant to eat, meant to process, and it doesn't matter what you replace it with, it's going to be unhealthy for you.
No doubt, but someone I hear has a different take. Maybe there's a fast food company out there doing something positive.
Not that I'm a fan of Burger King, but similarly, they have added some paleo type foods to their menu, and they're now serving cage-free eggs for their breakfast burritos and breakfast eggs, whatever they're doing over there. They're using cage-free eggs, and we're not there yet. This is a good step. For those of you that don't know, chickens are put often in tight cages, and they're stressed, they're unhappy. It's obviously unethical, that's a given. And you know, when they're unhappy, when they're stressed out, that goes in their eggs. Just like when you or I are stressed out, if we take blood serums, there'll be markers in there showing that our stress is high. same thing happens in their eggs. So first off, they're unhealthy. So then you try to move the chickens out. You make cage-free eggs, which is what we got here, which is good. You know, the way I see it, the chickens are moved out of their jail cells, but they're still kind of, you know, lifting weights, playing basketball in the penitentiary courtyard. So we need them out. We need them out roaming around in the grass, eating worms, eating flies, you know, running around happy, no stress. So those are the healthiest eggs. So
we're lifting weights out in the park.
Lifting weights in the park, doing jumping around, doing CrossFit, whatever you want to call it. But these are where, hopefully, where we're heading. So this is definitely a step in the right direction. So, you know, where Roger's gonna demonize Domino's, understandably, it seems like he's more the glass half empty kind of guy. I'm gonna take that.
No. Come on, man. I'm Mr. Positive.
He is usually. Actually, I come in here complaining about conventional this, conventional that, blah blah blah. He's actually the positive guy. But you know, this does show that if people are going to put their money where their mouth is, and there's farmer markets around here, they sell these, you know, pastured, not pasteurized, pastured eggs. These are chickens that are running around eating flies, eating worms, eating what they're supposed to, and people are buying them like crazy. And they are more expensive, but you put your money where your mouth is. Companies follow, and this is happening even at Burger King. So this is a good thing here.
Yeah, it's a good step. I won't demonize Burger King. And you can go have a Domino's gluten-free pizza if you really want.
We can demonize both companies, but this is a decent step.
Fair enough. Hats off to Burger King.
Hats
and
off.
And a half hat off to Domino's.
Sounds good. I like the positive spin.
Yeah. All right, so that's nutrition. How about some exercise?
Yeah.
I want to shout out a buddy of mine who runs a fantastic blog, Keith Norris from Ancestral Momentum. And he wrote an article not too long ago called Workouts or Events. And this one really hit home with me because, again, every day I am a personal trainer. And I take lots and lots of clients with lots and lots of different goals. And part of those different goals is keeping them all engaged and keeping them all happy with what's going on a day-to-day basis. So the gist of the article, Keith raises the distinction between a workout, i.e. I am strength training, I will lift this many sets of this, you know, I am training toward this very specific goal, and an event. And an event might be a competition between clients, a competition amongst friends. You get out there, you know, you start a clock, you do a certain amount of exercises, and you really leave it all on the table. Raises the distinction between them, and he really does a nice job of displaying not the need for, but, you know, the reason for both.
Okay.
Where they would both be useful. And so the post starts with a workout called that he calls the three bars of death. And I guess it was him and I think two of his clients partook in this challenge, and it was tough and it was a heck of a lot of fun. But you know, the bottom line is events are a great way to spice up training. Mm-hmm. They provide goals for, as he calls it, the fitness generalist, especially one who has a little competitive side to them. And again, that balance factor, that you want balance between workouts and events. Don't go too heavily in one or the other direction.
I'm just a little confused that this all sounds good, but I thought every time you step into the gym, it's a competition. I thought you're competing with every guy in there.
Well, this is true.
Seriously, though, you make some good points. I know there's certain days when I get into the gym, just a bad day of work, I need a competition to even get me in there.
Yep.
And then there's other days where I'm beat up, I'm tired, and frankly, to compete with, I have some pretty strong buddies in the gym, and if I were to compete with them on those days, you'd carry me out of there on a stretcher.
Yep.
Those are the days where I just need more motivation and just kind of get in there and take it easy.
No, definitely. Definitely. And I think that speaks to, I'll give him another shout out. The first place I heard this term was Keith, N equals one approach. You are a unique individual. You have unique goals, and you also, your day, you know, whether it's an energetic day or a complete lull or somewhere in between, that's unique to yourself. So it's figuring out where you are. And hey, if you're a trainer out there, figuring out where your client is, being able to very quickly assess how your client is walking in the door and what shape they're in. Do they just have a traumatic family event and there are tears on the treadmill while they're warming up? That's not a good sign. You probably shouldn't do an event that day.
I love, my favorite event is when, I don't know if you see this here, but whenever a good looking patron comes into the gym and immediately the weight doubles,
that's
every
right.
Guy's back's coming off the bench, the terrible form, but at that point it's who can throw around the greatest amount of weight.
That's right. So let me throw out a couple quotes from this article. You know, Keith says, quote, "The answer to whether or not one should partake in this particular three-bar circus is predicated upon that person's goals." Again, N equals one. Quote, "In the midst of training for a competition of some sort, then this type of endeavor probably wouldn't fit into your plans. In this scenario, every workout does have to have a particular focus or purpose. If you happen to be an open-ended generalist like myself, however, sessions like this can be an exciting way to test your mettle against friends or against yourself."
That's great. Again, so great lines there.
Nice, solid summation. Go check out Keith on ancestralmomentum.com.
So along those lines, what are you doing right now for workout?
What am I doing right now for a workout? So anytime I start running a transformation, stress levels always jump up a notch. Mm-hmm. And so I find that I look at stress as a cup. All stressors kind of fit into this cup of stress, whether it be exercise stress, whether it be relationship stress, whether it be business stress, life stress, family stress, whatever it is, you get a cup of stress. And if that cup starts to overflow, you're in trouble. So during periods of transformation, when I'm managing a lot of other people's programs, that stress level raises, that cup fills a lot more than it would, be on a daily basis. I usually scale back, or I've learned recently to scale back my own workouts in those times, and it really helps me out. It helps keep that cup from overflowing. So I am in one of those phases right now. And when I am looking to pull back my workouts, generally speaking, I do the following. I rest a lot. I walk slowly a lot. That could be hikes all over the city, up the Art Museum steps, down to Penn's Landing, you know, what have you. I tend to do one fun style workout a week. That's 20 minutes, basically HIT training or high intensity interval training. Just constantly move and then get the heck out of there after 20 minutes. And then one solid fundamental strength lift a week where I'll hit my trap bar deadlifts and my rows and, you know, some sort of a pressing motion, and then kind of get the heck out of there as well. And maybe that's not as much as some listeners out there would think that a trainer should be doing, but it works pretty darn well for me in these times.
And it sounds not too dissimilar from what we likely did for workouts over the past, you know, millions of years. A lot of walking around.
Yep.
Miles and miles per day. Even the modern day hunter gatherers, you know, they're walking miles and miles per day. And really there's only short spurts of running, short spurts of lifting heavy things when they're building, even, you know, when they're farming or whatnot. So that sounds pretty similar. So, you know, our bodies are made for those kind of workouts.
And the big takeaway from a listener perspective here is, you know, respect yourself in that if it is a stressful time, don't feel like you have to stick with your regular workout scheme. You know, if that is another stressor. Workouts are stressors. Your body needs to be in a position to recover and rebuild from that stressor. And if it's not in that position, you're in trouble.
Absolutely.
So respond to that stress, adjust your workouts accordingly, and then, hey, when that life stressor lessens a little bit, you can get right back to it. You can kick into those events and competitions and that stuff, but, you know, respect what's going on and respond to it.
Step it up a little.
So Colin, man, how about you? Exercise this week.
So I just finished a couple months of, I don't want to say it wasn't CrossFit per se. I mean, it's at my gym. It's CrossFit like, though, kind of heavy, complex movements.
Yep.
Intermixed with intense, you know, whether it's sprinting, running, just real minimal breaks. And I've just been dying to throw around some heavy weights. So I've switched it up, and I'm doing what's called extended fives. And with this lift, basically I split it up. Buys, tries, chest, back one day. Then the other day I do hamstrings, quads, calves, and shoulders. And basically at any given time, half the day is these extended fives. And what they are is basically I'll throw enough weight on a bench press where I could do five or six reps.
Okay.
I finish, I do a set of five, put the weight back, count to 15 seconds, max out at that point, which is about, you know, 3 to 5 reps, put
okay.
the weight back, 15 more seconds. And then max out there. That's one set of extended fives. And I do four of those. And I do two muscles per day on those extended fives. It's real heavy weight. It's good. It's a good workout for hypertrophy. It's a good workout to get stronger. And, you know, it's a lot of weights.
Hypertrophy, a.k.a. muscle growth.
Sorry, a.k.a. muscle growth. And it's a great workout. And actually, if you go on my website, send me an email. I have the workout on Excel spreadsheet, and I could send it to you. The whole workout. It's great. It's a good pre-summer workout too.
Nice.
Not that I work out.
You're shredded phase, man. You're back to your Pittsburgh days, prepping for the pool. Although here, you're a little closer to the beach.
That is true. Only an hour and a half away.
What's more motivating?
I only work out for health benefits, not to look good.
Yeah.
It's there's a lot of motivation when it gets warm out.
Definitely.
And,
definitely.
It's good motivation to hit some heavy weights. That's what I'm doing. I'm not counting calories, but I've definitely increased the calories. I'm definitely eating a lot more, sleeping a lot more, and I think my body's ready to take on that task.
I will not argue with anyone who has the health goal of looking good inside or outside of any t-shirt.
All right.
How about nutrition? So what is your favorite meal of the week? What can you pass along?
Favorite meal of the week? This week is an oldie but goodie. Actually, the last 2 weeks, and that's just kale chips. Basically, I walk down and get organic kale, wash it off, throw it on a pan, sprinkle it with avocado oil, has a high smoke point, doesn't get damaged too bad in the oven.
Nice.
Sprinkle with some salt and pepper, and I usually end up making enough servings for the whole day or even for a couple days, and then I eat it all in one sitting. So it's amazing stuff.
That means you're bringing that to paleo movie night, right?
Absolutely, yeah. You can bring your bone broth, and I'll bring the...
Fair enough.
Kale, what are you up to? What are you eating this week?
So I am still transfixed with, and this might be my response for like the next 2 months.
Okay.
I'm still transfixed with the Vitamix that myself and my partner Marissa have invested in. It is just a dream.
Oh, yeah.
And what I used to have a juicer for a long, I still have a juicer. It's just stashed away in a cabinet. So if anyone wants to take it off my hands, you're more than welcome to. The problem with the juicer for me was it removes all the pulp. So if I'm juicing up veggies and fruits, it takes all the pulp out of the equation and just leaves me with the juice. I wanted the entire vegetable or the entire fruit in there. And so we invested in a Vitamix. It is a powerhouse, 2 horsepower, engine on that bad boy.
Wow.
And
it's like a Honda lawnmower.
Yeah, that's right. So I can just toss in. I always try, as we talk about sometimes, put in more vegetables than fruits. I usually do one and a half servings of fruit, tons of veggies. Speaking of kale chips, raw kale is a favorite of mine. Blend that up and down it with some grass-fed burgers over greens.
Nice. And you hit on a good point there, always putting more vegetables in than fruit.
Yep.
And I tell that to my patients too. You don't have to count how much you're going to eat, but if you're eating 3 to 4 times more vegetables and fruit per day, you're not going to overeat your fruit.
Yep.
Because you can actually, believe it or not, you can overeat fruit. I mean, there's especially modern fruit, there's a lot of more sugar in it. And it's easy to...
Those mega Honeycrisp apples that are so damn delicious.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows what they're doing?
If an apple is the size of your head, it is not good to eat.
There's something wrong. Maybe it's radioactive.
it was in the courtyard in the prison with the chickens lifting weights.
That'd be a different story. So generally push for that. And I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yep. So let me try and give a little takeaway here. If you, like me, like your coffee bitter and strong flavors, and you are making a fruit veggie shake, flavor it with lime and ginger. Raw ginger and a slice or two of lime, throw it in there, and it gives it a nice sharp tang. And that is perfection for myself. So.
Got a chef here.
All right. We got our, always trying to give the takeaways. All right. We got our nutrition covered. Now it's time to get into mindset land. Let's talk some philosophy. Colin, I know you want to wax philosophical here.
We're going to get philosophical. So recently I was on a trip down in Florida in Sarasota, Cortez area. And beautiful place, great place. And I was driving around and going fishing, actually. There for a week, caught all my food, ate all my food all week, which is pretty amazing to do. If you guys could do that, I suggest it. It's healthy. It's wild. And doing so, I realized that I was putting in a lot of time, 4+ hours a day to get this food. And as I'm driving home, and this is no disrespect to the area, I'm from the suburbs of Pittsburgh, pretty boring area as well, and I love it, but just not a lot to do there. And it made me think how, for so long in our lives, or in the history of humans, we've spent hours and hours each day acquiring food, and your reward is, a piece of raw meat or a piece of fish. And that's been pretty much replaced now with fast food and even with restaurants. It doesn't take too long and you drive there. So no longer are you walking or working to get your food. you get there, and instead of being rewarded with a juicy steak or a fish, now you get a rainbow blizzard and just an explosion of fruit or of sweetness in your brain, and it makes you kind of go nuts. And yeah. So now you're, for not doing anything, you're rewarded times a million, and it's just it's unfortunate. I think we need to return to the days of using a lot of energy to acquire our food, putting a lot more thought process into it, and getting the reward not from that blizzard when it touches your tongue, but getting the reward from all you put in to get that food, to find that grass-fed beef, to walk across town, to go to the organic local farm type place. And I think we need to return to those roots, and you'll get a lot more accomplishment out of it.
Makes a lot of sense. We'd be a lot less obese and diabetic as a nation if we followed those words precisely.
Absolutely.
No more blizzards.
No more blizzards. No more blizzards, and no more gluten-free crust pizzas. So how about, what do you have for me here?
All right. So recently I was, now that I'm in transformation mode, I was thinking back to the last transformation community, and I had a lovely lady, a wonderful individual, and one of the best transformers of all time pop into my head. So from that community, she doesn't live in the neighborhood, and she had been making the commitment to travel into town, and she nailed all her workouts, and she'd been a great inspiration for the group. But I hadn't seen her for a few weeks, and unfortunately, when I talked to her, see, this is the issue with recording in a studio. we'll have to shut that phone off next time.
It's all right. Getting a view into our lives.
Yes.
How busy we are.
We're in the Relentless Fitness Studio. Right. One call in an hour. Damn it.
Yeah. They're knocking our door down.
Really beating this door down. All right. Anyway. So lovely lady. She had transformed very effectively. And unfortunately, I had talked to her, and she was struggling. She was struggling. She got, she kind of got back to life, and it was her birthday, and she had some cake, and that cake spiraled down out of control into some more cake, and this and that and the other. And all of a sudden, 3-4 weeks had passed, and the wheels were coming off. And so we started to talk it out, and I cemented this concept of a hard stop. And what I told her was, hey, I wish you'd come to Relentless once a week for a class. That was originally the plan. Mm-hmm. Come to Relentless once a week for a class. But I told her, it doesn't even have to be about me. It's not about Relentless Fitness. It's about something that sits on your schedule that represents positivity and empowerment and those results you work so hard to achieve. So that if you do have a birthday, if you do eat a piece of cake and the wheels do start to come off, you have something on the schedule that you are committed to, that you are going to, and that will remind you of all that good, and it sort of creates a wall for you. It kind of walls off that cake, and you can get back to what progressed you so far in the first place. So the concept of hard stops, again, it doesn't have to be a formalized trainer, just something on your schedule that represents the kind of results that you want out of life, period.
That's great. I mean, I know I have, I'm sure you have, I'm sure we've all had those kind of Fat Tuesday type.
Oh, definitely.
Friday hits around, you go nuts, and then you're like, when Monday comes, we'll return. Then totally. You have 2 more days of craziness. Next thing you know, you're off the wagon. Your insulin's up and down, eating carbs like crazy. So it's nice to have that. I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
I'll credit you.
Please do. Please do. And listeners too, hey, when we eat stuff that is bottom line addictive, you do need to create concrete strategies, and you do need to plan for that kind of stuff. I'm not the kind of paleo guy who's going to tell you, never have a treat in your life. That's not my thing. I think there are occasions that warrant having those golden oldie favorites. Maybe your family grew up having a monthly, bowling night where you'd have pizza and beer or whatever. Right. In childhood. Clearly. Bad example.
What kind of family?
Bad example. Pizza and cake.
There you go.
All right. Pizza.
We don't condone drinking beer.
Right.
Under the age of 21.
So let's say there was pizza and cake night. You spent that out once a month with your family bowling. Go do that. Do that and have fun with it. But maybe put your hard stop in the very next morning. Maybe the very next morning is when you hit your favorite workout, and you compete with the prior month. And then you expel the pizza and cake that you spent the night before consuming.
I like it. I like it a lot.
So anyway, that's mindset for the day.
It's a good mindset. We got Feng Shui-ish there.
That's right.
I'm in a very good Zen state. I'm going to go search for food.
Podcast number one. Episode number one. So, hey, to the listeners out there, obviously we are learning on the job here. And it's raw, but it's real. And we're trying to come to you with some usable takeaways. And Colin, I had a good time today, man.
I did too. Things are just getting started.
That's it. Now, hey, by the way, please send us feedback. We thrive on feedback. We want to know what that we talked about today did you like best? What that we talked about today would you rather not be in the show at all? And we will adapt. So we're kind of here to serve you.
Absolutely. Be honest.
Right. Exactly. We live our lives and we'd like to think we have some usable stuff to share. So let's see if that's actually the case.
Stay tuned.
Talk to Colin at cavemandoctor.com, right?
Cavemandoctor.com. Send me any messages you want. Read my articles. Put comments on there. I have a email on there that I check.
Yep. Talk to me at rogerdickerman.com. And if you go on there and notice how long it's been since I posted a blog post, this is exactly why this podcast is being recorded. Colin is much better. Colin's better at two things than me. Probably many others, but two things that are really apparent right now. He posts on his blog all the darn time, and he dresses really sharp. So for listeners, he is button-down shirt and slacks, and I am in Relentless Fitness workout gear, and that's just the way it goes.
I'll dress down next time. I'll come fresh after a workout.
All right, everybody. That's it for episode one. Remember, do your thing out there. It's all about the lifestyle. This is not just a diet.
Absolutely not just a diet. Keep that in mind. Keep searching for that food. No more blizzards.
See you next time. Relentless Roger and the Caveman Doctor, episode one.